When I came unto men for the first time, then did I commit the anchorite folly, the great folly. I appeared on the marketplace. And when I spake unto all, I spake unto none. In the evening, however, rope dancers were my companions, and corpses, and I myself almost a corpse. With the new morning, however, there came unto me a new truth. Then did I learn to say, Of what account to me are marketplace and populous noise and long populous ears? Ye higher men, learn this from me. On the marketplace no one believeth in higher men. But if ye will speak there, very well. The populace, however, blinketh. We are all equal. Ye higher men, so blinketh the populace. There are no higher men. We are all equal. Man is man. Before God, we are all equal. Before God. Now, however, this God hath died. Before the populace, however, we will not be equal. Ye higher men, away from the marketplace. 2. Before God. Now, however, this God hath died. Ye higher men, this God was your greatest danger. Only since he lay in the grave have ye again arisen. Now only cometh the great noontide. Now only doth the higher man become master. Have ye understood this word, O my brethren? Ye are frightened. Do your hearts turn giddy? Doth the abyss here yawn for you? Doth the hellhound here yelp at you? Well, take heart, ye higher men. Now only travaileth the mountain of the human future. God hath died. Now do we desire the Superman to live. 3. The most careful ask today, How is man to be maintained? Zarathustra, however, asketh, as the first and only one, How is man to be surpassed? The Superman I have at heart, that is the first and only thing to me, and not man, not the neighbour, not the poorest, not the sorriest, not the best. O my brethren, what I can love in man is that he is an overgoing and a downgoing, and also in you there is much that maketh me love and hope. In that ye have despised, ye higher men, that maketh me hope, for the great despisers are the great reverers. In that ye have despaired, there is much to honour, for ye have not learned to submit yourselves, ye have not learned petty policy. For today have the petty people become master. They all preach submission and humility and policy and diligence and consideration and the long etc. of petty virtues. Whatever is of the effeminate type, whatever originateth from the servile type, and especially the populous mishmash, that wisheth now to be master of all human destiny. Oh, disgust, disgust, disgust! That asketh, and never tireth, how is man to maintain himself best, longest, most pleasantly? Thereby are they the masters of today. These masters of today surpass them, O my brethren. These petty people, they are the Superman's greatest danger. Surpass, ye higher men, the petty virtues, the petty policy, the sand-grain considerateness, the ant-hill trumpery, the pitiable comfortableness, the happiness of the greatest number. And rather despair than submit yourselves. And verily I love you because ye know not today how to live, ye higher men, for thus do ye live best. 4. Have ye courage, O my brethren? Are ye stout-hearted? Not the courage before witnesses, but anchorite and eagle courage, which not even a god any longer beholdeth. Cold souls, mules, the blind and the drunken, I do not call stout-hearted. He hath heart who knoweth fear, but vanquisheth it, who seeth the abyss, but with pride. He who seeth the abyss, but with eagle's eyes, he who with eagle's talons graspeth the abyss, he hath courage. 5. Man is evil. So said to me for consolation all the wisest ones, Ah, if only it be still true today, for the evil is man's best force. Man must become better and eviler. So do I teach. The evilist is necessary for the Superman's best. It may have been well for the preacher of the petty people to suffer and be burdened by men's sin. I, however, rejoice in great sin as my great consolation. Such things, however, are not said for long ears. Every word also is not suited for every mouth. These are fine, faraway things. At them sheep's claws shall not grasp. 6. Ye higher men, think ye that I am here to put right what ye have put wrong? Or that I wished henceforth to make snugger couches for you sufferers, or show you, restless, miswandering, misclimbing ones, new and easier footpaths? Nay, nay, three times nay, always more, always better ones of your type shall succumb, for ye shall always have it worse and harder, thus only. Thus only groweth man aloft to the height where the lightning striketh and shattereth him, high enough for the lightning. Towards the few, the long, the remote, go forth my soul and my seeking. Of what account to me are your many little short miseries? Ye do not yet suffer enough for me, for ye suffer from yourselves. Ye have not yet suffered from man. Ye would lie if ye spake otherwise. None of you suffereth from what I have suffered. 7. It is not enough for me that the lightning no longer doeth harm. I do not wish to conduct it away. It shall learn to work for me. My wisdom hath accumulated long like a cloud. It becometh stiller and darker. So doeth all wisdom which shall one day bear lightnings. Unto these men of today will I not be light, nor be called light. Them will I blind. Lightning of my wisdom, put out their eyes. 8. Do not will anything beyond your power. There is a bad falseness in those who will beyond their power, especially when they will great things, for they awaken distrust in great things, the subtle, false, coiners and stage players, until at last they are false towards themselves, squint-eyed, whited cankers, glossed over with strong words, parade virtues and brilliant false deeds. Take good care there, ye higher men, for nothing is more precious to me and rarer than honesty. Is this today not that of the populace? The populace, however, knoweth not what is great and what is small, what is straight and what is honest. It is innocently crooked. It ever lieth. 9. Have a good distrust today, ye higher men, ye enheartened ones, ye open-hearted ones, and keep your reasons secret, for this today is that of the populace. What the populace once learned to believe without reasons, who could refute it to them by means of reasons? And on the marketplace one convinceth with gestures, but reasons make the populace distrustful. And when truth hath once triumphed there, then ask yourselves with good distrust, what strong error hath fought for it? Be on your guard also against the learned. They hate you, because they are unproductive. They have cold, withered eyes before which every bird is unplumed. Such persons vaunt about not lying, but inability to lie is still far from being love to truth. Be on your guard. Freedom from fever is still far from being knowledge. Refrigerated spirits I do not believe in. He who cannot lie doth not know what truth is. 10. If ye would go up high, then use your own legs. Do not get yourselves carried aloft. Do not seat yourselves on other people's backs and heads. Thou hast mounted, however, on horseback. Thou now ridest briskly up to thy goal. Well, my friend, but thy lame foot is also with thee on horseback. When thou reachest thy goal, when thou alightest from thy horse, precisely on thy height, thou higher man, then wilt thou stumble. 11. Ye creating ones, ye higher men, one is only pregnant with one's own child. Do not let yourselves be imposed upon or put upon. Who then is your neighbour? Even if ye act for your neighbour, ye still do not create for him. Unlearn, I pray you, this for, ye creating ones. Your very virtue wisheth you to have naught to do with for, and on account of, and because. Against these false little words shall ye stop your ears. For one's neighbour is the virtue only of the petty people. There it is said, like and like, and hand washeth hand. They have neither the right nor the power for your self-seeking. In your self-seeking, ye creating ones, there is the foresight and foreseeing of the pregnant. What no one's eye hath yet seen, namely the fruit, this sheltereth and saveth and nourisheth your entire love. Where your entire love is, namely with your child, there is also your entire virtue. Your work, your will, is your neighbour. Let no false values impose upon you. 12. Ye creating ones, ye higher men, whoever hath to give birth is sick, whoever hath given birth, however, is unclean. Ask women, one giveth birth, not because it giveth pleasure. The pain maketh hens and poets cackle. Ye creating ones, in you there is much uncleanliness. That is because ye have had to be mothers. A new child, oh, how much new filth hath also come into the world. Go apart. He who hath given birth shall wash his soul. 13. Be not virtuous beyond your powers, and seek nothing from yourselves opposed to probability. Walk in the footsteps in which your father's virtue hath already walked. How would ye rise high if your father's will should not rise with you? He, however, who would be a firstling, let him take care, lest he also become a lastling. And where the vices of your fathers are, there should ye not set up as saints. He whose fathers were inclined for women, and for strong wine and flesh of wild boar swine, what would it be if he demanded chastity of himself? A folly would it be. Much verily doth it seem to me for such a one, if he should be the husband of one, or of two, or of three women. And if he founded monasteries, and inscribed over their portals, the way to holiness, I should still say, what good is it? It is a new folly. He hath founded for himself a penance house and refuge house. Much good may it do, but I do not believe in it. In solitude there groweth what any one bringeth into it, also the brute in one's nature. Thus is solitude inadvisable unto many. Hath there ever been anything filthier on earth than the saints of the wilderness? Around them was not only the devil loose, but also the swine. 14. Shy, ashamed, awkward, like the tiger whose spring hath failed, thus, ye higher men, have I often seen you slink aside. A cast which ye made had failed. But what doth it matter, ye dice-players? Ye had not learned to play and mock, as one must play and mock. Do we not ever sit at a great table of mocking and playing? And if great things have been a failure with you, have ye yourselves therefore been a failure? And if ye yourselves have been a failure, hath man therefore been a failure? If man, however, hath been a failure, well then, never mind. 15. The higher its type, always the seldomer doth a thing succeed. Ye higher men here, have ye not all been failures? Be of good cheer. What doth it matter? How much is still possible? Learn to laugh at yourselves as ye ought to laugh. What wonder even that ye have failed and only half succeeded, ye half shattered ones? Doth not man's future strive and struggle in you? Man's furthest, profoundest, star-highest issues, his prodigious powers, do not all these foam through one another in your vessel? What wonder that many a vessel shattereth? Learn to laugh at yourselves as ye ought to laugh. Ye higher men, O, how much is still possible! And verily, how much hath already succeeded! How rich is this earth in small, good, perfect things, in well-constituted things! Set around you small, good, perfect things, ye higher men. Their golden maturity healeth the heart. The perfect teacheth one to hope. 16. What hath hitherto been the greatest sin here on earth? Was it not the word of him who said, Woe unto them that laugh now? Did he himself find no cause for laughter on the earth? Then he sought badly. A child even findeth cause for it. He did not love sufficiently. Otherwise would he also have loved us, the laughing ones. But he hated and hooted us. Wailing and teeth-gnashing did he promise us. Must one then curse immediately when one doth not love? That seemeth to me bad taste. Thus did he, however, this absolute one, he sprang from the populace. And he himself just did not love sufficiently, otherwise would he have raged less, because people did not love him. All great love doth not seek love, it seeketh more. Go out of the way of all such absolute ones. They are a poor, sickly type, a populous type. They look at this life with ill will, they have an evil eye for this earth. Go out of the way of all such absolute ones. They have heavy feet and sultry hearts. They do not know how to dance. How could the earth be light to such ones? 17. Tortuously do all good things come nigh to their goal. Like cats they curve their backs. They purr inwardly with their approaching happiness. All good things laugh. His step betrayeth whether a person already walketh on his own path. Just see me walk. He, however, who cometh nigh to his goal, danceth. And verily a statue have I not become. Not yet do I stand there stiff, stupid, and stony like a pillar. I love fast racing. And though there be on earth fens and dense afflictions, he who hath light feet runneth even across the mud, and danceth as upon well-swept ice. Lift up your hearts, my brethren, high, higher, and do not forget your legs. Lift up also your legs, ye good dancers, and better still, if ye stand upon your heads. 18. This crown of the laughter, this rose-garland crown, I myself have put on this crown, I myself have consecrated my laughter. No one else have I found today potent enough for this. Zarathustra the dancer, Zarathustra the light one, who beckoneth with his pinions, one ready for flight, beckoning unto all birds, ready and prepared, a blissfully light-spirited one. Zarathustra the soothsayer, Zarathustra the sooth-laugher, no impatient one, no absolute one, one who loveth leaps and side-leaps, I myself have put on this crown. 19. Lift up your hearts, my brethren, high, higher, and do not forget your legs. Lift up also your legs, ye good dancers, and better still if ye stand upon your heads. There are also heavy animals in a state of happiness. There are club-footed ones from the beginning. Curiously do they exert themselves, like an elephant which endeavoureth to stand upon its head. Better, however, to be foolish with happiness than foolish with misfortune. Better to dance awkwardly than walk lamely. So learn, I pray you, my wisdom, ye higher men. Even the worst thing hath two good reverse sides. Even the worst thing hath good dancing legs. So learn, I pray you, ye higher men, to put yourselves on your proper legs. So unlearn, I pray you, the sorrow-sighing and all the populous sadness. Oh, how sad the buffoons of the populace seem to me today! This today, however, is that of the populace. 20. Do like unto the wind when it rusheth forth from its mountain caves. Unto its own piping will it dance. The seas tremble and leap under its footsteps. That which giveth wings to asses, that which milketh the lionesses, praised be that good, unruly spirit, which cometh like a hurricane unto all the present and unto all the populace, which is hostile to thistleheads and puzzleheads, and to all withered leaves and weeds. Praised be this wild, good, free spirit of the storm, which danceth upon fens and afflictions as upon meadows, which hateth the consumptive populace dogs and all the ill-constituted sullen brood. Praised be this spirit of all free spirits, the laughing storm which bloweth dust into the eyes of all the melanopic and melancholic. Ye higher men, the worst thing in you is that ye have none of you learned to dance as ye ought to dance beyond yourselves. What doth it matter that ye have failed? How many things are still possible? So learn to laugh beyond yourselves. Lift up your hearts, ye good dancers, high, higher, and do not forget the good laughter. This crown of the laughter, this rose garland crown, to you, my brethren, do I cast this crown. Laughing have I consecrated, ye higher men. Learn, I pray you, to laugh. 74. The Song of Melancholy. 1. When Zarathustra spake these sayings, he stood nigh to the entrance of his cave. With the last words, however, he slipped away from his guests, and fled for a little while into the open air. "O pure odours around me," cried he, "O blessed stillness around me! But where are mine animals? Hither, hither, mine eagle and my serpent! Tell me, mine animals, these higher men, all of them, do they perhaps not smell well? O pure odours around me! Now only do I know and feel how I love you, mine animals." And Zarathustra said once more, "I love you, mine animals." The eagle, however, and the serpent pressed close to him when he spake these words, and looked up to him. In this attitude were they all three silent together, and sniffed and sipped the good air with one another, for the air here outside was better than with the higher men. 2. Hardly, however, had Zarathustra left the cave when the old magician got up, looked cunningly about him, and said, "He is gone. And already, ye higher men, let me tickle you with this complimentary and flattering name as he himself doeth. Already doth mine evil spirit of deceit and magic attack me, my melancholy devil, which is an adversary to this Zarathustra from the very heart. Forgive it for this. Now doth it wish to conjure before you. It hath just its hour. In vain do I struggle with this evil spirit. And to all of you, whatever honours ye like to assume in your names, whether ye call yourselves the free spirits, or the conscientious, or the penitents of the spirit, or the unfettered, or the great longers, and to all of you who, like me, suffer from the great loathing, to whom the old god hath died, and as yet no new god lieth in cradles and swaddling clothes, and to all of you is mine evil spirit and magic devil favourable. I know you, ye higher men, I know him, I know also this fiend whom I love in spite of me, this Zarathustra. He himself often seemeth to me like the beautiful mask of a saint, like a new strange mummery in which mine evil spirit, the melancholy devil, delighteth. I love Zarathustra, so doth it often seem to me, for the sake of mine evil spirit. But already doth it attack me and constrain me, this spirit of melancholy, this evening twilight devil, and verily, ye higher men, it hath a longing. Open your eyes, it hath a longing to come naked, whether male or female, I do not yet know. But it cometh, it constraineth me. Alas, open your wits. The day dieth out, unto all things cometh now the evening, also unto the best things. Hear now and see, ye higher men, what devil, man, or woman this spirit of evening melancholy is. Thus spake the old magician, looked cunningly about him, and then seized his harp. 3. In evening's limpid air, what time the dews soothing unto the earth downpour, invisibly and unheard, for tender shoe-gear wear the soothing dews, like all that's kind gentle. Bethink'st thou then, bethink'st thou, burning heart, how once thou thirstedst for heaven's kindly teardrops and dews down-droppings, all singed and weary thirstedst, what time on yellow grass pathways, wicked occidental sunny glances, through sombre trees about thee sported, blindingly sunny glow-glances gladly hurting. Of truth the wooer, thou? So taunted they. Nay, merely poet, a brute, insidious, plundering, grovelling, that I must lie, that wittingly, wilfully I must lie, for booty lusting, motley masked, self-hidden, shrouded, himself his booty, he, of truth, the wooer? Nay, mere fool, mere poet, just motley speaking, from mask of fool confusedly shouting, circumambling on fabricated word bridges, on motley rainbow arches, twixt the spurious heavenly and spurious earthly, round us roving, round us soaring, mere fool, mere poet. He, of truth the wooer, not still, stiff, smooth and cold, become an image, a godlike statue, set up in front of temples, as a god's own door-guard, nay. Hostile to all such truthfulness statues, in every desert homelier than at temples, with cattish wantonness, through every window leaping, quickly into chances, every wild forest a-sniffing, greedily longingly sniffing, that thou in wild forests, mong the motley speckled fierce creatures shouldst rove, sinful sound and fine-coloured, with longing lips smacking, blessedly mocking, blessedly hellish, blessedly bloodthirsty, robbing, skulking, lying, roving. Or unto eagles, like which, fixedly, long adown the precipice look, adown their precipice, oh how they whirl down now, thereunder, therein, to ever deeper profoundness whirling. Then, sudden, with aim aright, with quivering flight, on lambkins pouncing, headlong down, sore, hungry, for lambkins longing, fierce gainst all lamb spirits, furious, fierce, all that look sheep-like, or lamb-eyed, or crisp-woolly, grey with lamb-sheep kindliness. Even thus, eagle-like, panther-like, are the poet's desires, are thine own desires neath a thousand guises, thou fool, thou poet, thou who all mankind viewedst, so God as sheep, the God to rend within mankind, as the sheep in mankind, and in rending, laughing. That is thine own blessedness, of a panther and eagle blessedness, of a poet and fool the blessedness. In evening's limpid air, what time the moon's sickle, green, twixt the purple glowings, and jealous, stealeth forth, of day the foe, with every step in secret, the rosy garland hammocks, down sickling till they've sunken, down nightwards, faded down sunken. Thus had I sunken one day, from mine own truth insanity, from mine own fervid day-longings, of day a-weary, sick of sunshine, sunk downwards, evenwards, shadowwards, by one soul trueness, all scorched and thirsty. Bethink'st thou still, bethink'st thou, burning heart, how then thou thirstedst, that I should banned be from all the trueness, mere fool, mere poet. 75. Science. Thus sang the magician, and all who were present went like birds unawares into the net of his artful and melancholy voluptuousness. Only the spiritually conscientious one had not been caught. He at once snatched the harp from the magician and called out, "Air! Let in good air! Let in Zarathustra! Thou makest this cave sultry and poisonous, thou bad old magician! Thou seducest, thou false one, thou subtle one, to unknown desires and deserts, and alas, that such as thou should talk and make ado about the truth! Alas, to all free spirits who are not on their guard against such magicians, it is all over with their freedom. Thou teachest and temptest back into prisons. Thou old melancholy devil, out of thy lament soundeth allurement. Thou resemblest those who with their praise of chastity secretly invite to voluptuousness." Thus spake the conscientious one. The old magician, however, looked about him, enjoying his triumph, and on that account put up with the annoyance which the conscientious one caused him. "Be still," said he with modest voice. "Good songs want to re-echo well. After good songs, one should be long silent." Thus do all those present, the higher men. Thou, however, hast perhaps understood but little of my song. In thee there is little of the magic spirit. "Thou praisest me," replied the conscientious one, "in that thou separatest me from thyself. Very well. But ye others, what do I see? Ye still sit there, all of you, with lusting eyes. Ye free spirits, whither hath your freedom gone? Ye almost seem to me to resemble those who have long looked at bad girls dancing naked. Your souls themselves dance. In you, ye higher men, there must be more of that which the magician calleth his evil spirit of magic and deceit. We must indeed be different. And verily, we spake and thought long enough together ere Zarathustra came home to his cave, for me not to be unaware that we are different. We seek different things, even here aloft, ye and I, for I seek more security. On that account have I come to Zarathustra, for he is still the most steadfast tower and will. Today, when everything tottereth, when all the earth quaketh, ye, however, when I see what eyes ye make, it almost seemeth to me that ye seek more insecurity. More horror, more danger, more earthquake. Ye long, it almost seemeth so to me, forgive my presumption, ye higher men. Ye long for the worst and dangerousest life, which frighteneth me most, for the life of wild beasts, for forests, caves, steep mountains, and labyrinthine gorges. And it is not those who lead out of danger that please you best, but those who lead you away from all paths, the misleaders. But if such longing in you be actual, it seemeth to me nevertheless to be impossible. For fear, that is man's original and fundamental feeling. Through fear, everything is explained, original sin and original virtue. Through fear, there grew also my virtue, that is to say, science. For fear of wild animals, that hath been longest fostered in man, inclusive of the animal which he concealeth and feareth in himself. Zarathustra calleth it the beast inside. Such prolonged ancient fear at last becomes subtle, spiritual, and intellectual. At present, methinketh, it is called science. Thus spake the conscientious one. But Zarathustra, who had just come back into his cave, and had heard and divined the last discourse, threw a handful of roses to the conscientious one, and laughed on account of his truths. "Why," he exclaimed, "what did I hear just now? Verily it seemeth to me thou art a fool, or else I myself am one, and quietly and quickly will I put thy truth upside down. For fear is an exception with us. Courage, however, and adventure, and delight in the uncertain, in the unattempted, courage seemeth to me the entire primitive history of man. The wildest and most courageous animals hath he envied and robbed of all their virtues. Thus only did he become man. This courage at last becomes subtle, spiritual, and intellectual. This human courage, with eagle's pinions and serpent's wisdom, this, it seemeth to me, is called at present. Zarathustra! Cried all of them there assembled, as if with one voice, and burst out at the same time into a great laughter. There arose, however, from them, as it were, a heavy cloud. Even the magician laughed, and said wisely, Well, it is gone, mine evil spirit. And did I not myself warn you against it when I said that it was a deceiver, a lying and deceiving spirit? Especially when it showeth itself naked. But what can I do with regard to its tricks? Have I created it and the world? Well, let us be good again and of good cheer. And although Zarathustra looketh with evil eye, just see him, he disliketh me. Ere night cometh, will he again learn to love and lord me. He cannot live long without committing such follies. He loveth his enemies. This art knoweth he better than any one I have seen, but he taketh revenge for it on his friends. Thus spake the old magician, and the higher men applauded him, so that Zarathustra went round, and mischievously and lovingly shook hands with his friends, like one who hath to make amends and apologize to everyone for something. When, however, he had thereby come to the door of his cave, lo, then had he again a longing for the good air outside, and for his animals, and wished to steal out. 76. Among Daughters of the Desert. 1. Go not away, said then the wanderer who called himself Zarathustra's shadow. Abide with us, otherwise the old gloomy affliction might again fall upon us. Now hath that old magician given us of his worst for our good, and lo, the good, pious Pope there hath tears in his eyes, and hath quite embarked again upon the sea of melancholy. Those kings may well put on a good air before us still, for that have they learned best of us all at present. Had they, however, no one to see them, I wager that with them also the bad game would again commence. The bad game of drifting clouds, of damp melancholy, of curtained heavens, of stolen suns, of howling autumn winds. The bad game of our howling and crying for help. Abide with us, O Zarathustra. Here there is much concealed misery that wisheth to speak, much evening, much cloud, much damp air. Thou hast nourished us with strong food for men and powerful proverbs. Do not let the weakly, womanly spirits attack us anew at desert. Thou alone makest the air around thee strong and clear. Did I ever find anywhere on earth such good air as with thee in thy cave? Many lands have I seen. My nose hath learned to test and estimate many kinds of air. But with thee do my nostrils taste their greatest delight. Unless it be, do forgive an old recollection, forgive me an old after-dinner song, which I once composed amongst daughters of the desert. For with them was there equally good, clear, oriental air. There was I furthest from cloudy, damp, melancholy old Europe. Then did I love such oriental maidens and other blue kingdoms of heaven, over which hang no clouds and no thoughts. Ye would not believe how charmingly they sat there, when they did not dance, profound, but without thoughts, like little secrets, like beribboned riddles, like dessert nuts. Many-hued and foreign, forsooth, but without clouds, riddles which can be guessed. To please such maidens, I then composed an after-dinner psalm. Thus spake the wanderer, who called himself Zarathustra's shadow, and before anyone answered him, he had seized the harp of the old magician, crossed his legs, and looked calmly and sagely around him. With his nostrils, however, he inhaled the air slowly and questioningly, like one who in new countries tasteth new foreign air. Afterward he began to sing with a kind of roaring. 2. The deserts grow, woe him who doth them hide. Ha! solemnly, in effect solemnly, a worthy beginning, Afric manner, solemnly, of a lion worthy, or perhaps of a virtuous howl monkey, but it's naught to you, ye friendly damsels dearly loved, at whose own feet, to me, the first occasion, to a European under palm trees, a seat is now granted, Selah. Wonderful, truly, here do I sit now, the desert nigh, and yet I am so far still from the desert, even in naught yet deserted, that is, I'm swallowed down by this the smallest oasis. It opened up just yawning, its loveliest mouth agape, most sweet-odored of all mouthlets, then I fell right in, right down, right through, in among you, ye friendly damsels dearly loved, Selah. Hail, hail to that whale fish-like, if it thus for its guests' convenience made things nice, ye well know, surely, my learned illusion, hail to its belly, if it had e'er a such loveliest oasis belly as this is, though however I doubt about it, with this come I out of old Europe, that doubteth more eagerly than doth any elderly married woman. May the Lord improve it. Amen. Here do I sit now, in this smallest oasis, like a date indeed, brown, quite sweet, gold separating, for rounded mouth of maiden longing, but yet still more for youthful, maid-like, ice-cold and snow-white and incisory front teeth, and for such assuredly pine the hearts all of ardent date-fruits, Selah. To the there-named south fruits now, similar, all too similar, do I lie here. By little flying insects, round sniffled and round played, and also by yet littler, foolisher, and peccabler wishes and fantasies, environed by you, ye silent, presentientist maiden kittens, Dudu and Suleika, round sphinxed, that into one word I may crowd much feeling. Forgive me, O God, all such speech-sinning. Sit I here the best of air-sniffling, paradisal air, truly, bright and buoyant air, golden-mottled, as goodly air as ever from lunar orb downfell, be it by hazard, or supervened it by arrogancy. As the ancient poets relate it, but doubter, I'm now calling it in question, with this do I come indeed out of Europe, that doubteth more eagerly than doth any elderly married woman. May the Lord improve it. Amen. This the finest air drinking, with nostrils outswelled like goblets, lacking future, lacking remembrances. Thus do I sit here, ye friendly damsels dearly loved, and look at the palm tree there, how it, to a dance girl, like, doth bow and bend, and on its haunches bob. One doth it too, when one vieweth it long, to a dance girl like, who, as it seemeth to me, too long and dangerously persistent, always, always, just on single leg hath stood. Then forgot she thereby, as it seemeth to me, the other leg? For vainly I, at least, did search for the amissing fellow-jewel, namely the other leg, in the sanctified precincts, nigh her very dearest, very tenderest, flapping and fluttering and flickering, skirting. Yea, if ye should, ye beauteous friendly ones, quite take my word, she hath, alas, lost it. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, it is away, forever away, the other leg. Oh, pity for that loveliest other leg! Where may it now tarry, all forsaken, weeping, the lonesomest leg? In fear, perhaps, before a furious, yellow, blonde and curled, leonine monster? Or perhaps even gnawed away, nibbled badly, most wretched, woeful, woeful, nibbled badly, Selah. Oh, weep ye not, gentle spirits, weep ye not, ye date-fruit spirits, milk-bosoms, ye sweet-wood-heart, purselets, weep ye no more, pallid doo-doo, be a man, Suleika, bold, bold. Or else should there perhaps something strengthening, heart-strengthening, here most proper be, some inspiring text, some solemn exhortation? Ha! Up now! Honour! Moral honour! European honour! Blow again, continue, bellows box of virtue! Ha! Once more thy roaring, thy moral roaring, as a virtuous lion nigh the daughters of deserts roaring! For virtue's out-howl, ye very dearest maidens, is more than every European fervour, European hot hunger, and now do I stand here as European. I can't be different. God's help to me. Amen. The deserts grow. Woe him who doth them hide. 77. The Awakening. 1. After the song of the wanderer and shadow, the cave became all at once full of noise and laughter, and since the assembled guests all spake simultaneously, and even the ass, encouraged thereby, no longer remained silent, a little aversion and scorn for his visitors came over Zarathustra, although he rejoiced at their gladness, for it seemed to him a sign of convalescence. So he slipped out into the open air and spake to his animals. "Whither hath their distress now gone?" said he, and already did he himself feel relieved of his petty disgust. "With me it seemeth that they have unlearned their cries of distress, though alas, not yet their crying." And Zarathustra stopped his ears, for just then did the yee-ah of the ass mix strangely with the noisy jubilation of those higher men. "They are merry," he began again, "and who knoweth? Perhaps at their host's expense. And if they have learned of me to laugh, still it is not my laughter they have learned. But what matter about that? They are old people. They recover in their own way. They laugh in their own way. Mine ears have already endured worse and have not become peevish. This day is a victory. He already yieldeth. He fleeth, the spirit of gravity, mine old arch-enemy. How well this day is about to end, which began so badly and gloomily. And it is about to end. Already cometh the evening. Over the sea rideth it hither, the good rider. How it bobbeth, the blessed one, the home-returning one, in its purple saddles. The sky gazeth brightly thereon, the world lieth deep. Oh, all ye strange ones who have come to me, it is already worthwhile to have lived with me. Thus spake Zarathustra, and again came the cries and laughter of the higher men out of the cave. Then began he anew. "They bite at it, my bait taketh, there departeth also from them their enemy, the spirit of gravity. Now do they learn to laugh at themselves. Do I hear rightly? My virile food taketh effect, my strong and savoury sayings, and verily I did not nourish them with flatulent vegetables, but with warrior food, with conqueror food. New desires did I awaken. New hopes are in their arms and legs, their hearts expand. They find new words, soon will their spirits breathe wantonness. Such food may sure enough not be proper for children, nor even for longing girls, old and young. One persuadeth their bowels otherwise. I am not their physician and teacher. The disgust departeth from these higher men. Well, that is my victory. In my domain they become assured. All stupid shame fleeth away. They empty themselves. They empty their hearts. Good times return unto them. They keep holiday and ruminate. They become thankful. That do I take as the best sign. They become thankful. Not long will it be ere they devise festivals and put up memorials to their old joys. They are convalescents. Thus spoke Zarathustra joyfully to his heart, and gazed outward. His animals, however, pressed up to him, and honoured his happiness and his silence. 2. All on a sudden, however, Zarathustra's ear was frightened, for the cave, which had hitherto been full of noise and laughter, became all at once still as death. His nose, however, smelt a sweet-scented vapour and incense odour, as if from burning pine cones. "What happeneth? What are they about?" he asked himself, and stole up to the entrance, that he might be able, unobserved, to see his guests. But wonder upon wonder, what was he then obliged to behold with his own eyes? They have all of them become pious again. They pray, they are mad, said he, and was astonished beyond measure. And forsooth, all these higher men, the two kings, the Pope out of service, the evil magician, the voluntary beggar, the wanderer and shadow, the old soothsayer, the spiritually conscientious one, and the ugliest man, they all lay on their knees like children and credulous old women and worshipped the ass. And just then began the ugliest man to gurgle and snort, as if something unutterable in him tried to find expression. When, however, he had actually found words, behold, it was a pious, strange litany in praise of the adored and censed ass. And the litany sounded thus: Amen, and glory and honour and wisdom and thanks and praise and strength be to our God from everlasting to everlasting. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea, ya. He carrieth our burdens, he hath taken upon him the form of a servant, he is patient of heart and never saith nay, and he who loveth his God chastiseth him. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea. He speaketh not, except that he ever saith yea to the world, which he created. Thus doth he extol his world. It is his artfulness that speaketh not. Thus is he rarely found wrong. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea. Uncomely goeth he through the world. Grey is the favourite colour in which he wrappeth his virtue. Hath he spirit, then doth he conceal it. Everyone, however, believeth in his long ears. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea. What hidden wisdom it is to wear long ears, and only to say yea, and never nay. Hath he not created the world in his own image, namely, as stupid as possible? The ass, however, here brayed, Yea, yea. Thou goest straight and crooked ways. It concerneth thee little what seemeth straight or crooked unto us men. Beyond good and evil is thy domain. It is thine innocence not to know what innocence is. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea. Lo, how thou spurnest none from thee, neither beggars nor kings. Thou sufferest little children to come unto thee, and when the bad boys decoy thee, then sayest thou simply, Yea. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea. Thou lovest she-asses and fresh figs. Thou art no food despiser. A thistle tickleth thy heart when thou chancest to be hungry. There is the wisdom of a god therein. The ass, however, here brayed, Yea. 78. The Ass Festival. 1. At this place in the litany, however, Zarathustra could no longer control himself. He himself cried out, Yea! Louder even than the ass, and sprang into the midst of his maddened guests. Whatever are you about, ye grown-up children? He exclaimed, pulling up the praying ones from the ground. Alas, if anyone else except Zarathustra had seen you, everyone would think you the worst blasphemers, or the very foolishest old women with your new belief. And thou thyself, thou old pope, how is it in accordance with thee to adore an ass in such a manner as God? O Zarathustra, answered the pope, forgive me, but in divine matters I am more enlightened even than thou, and it is right that it should be so. Better to adore God so in this form than in no form at all. Think over this saying, mine exalted friend. Thou wilt readily divine that in such a saying there is wisdom. He who said God is a spirit, made the greatest stride and slide hitherto made on earth towards unbelief. Such a dictum is not easily amended again on earth. Mine old heart leapeth and boundeth, because there is still something to adore on earth. Forgive it, O Zarathustra, to an old, pious pontiff heart. And thou, said Zarathustra to the wanderer and shadow, thou callest and thinkest thyself a free spirit, and thou here practicest such idolatry and hierolatry? Worse, verily, doest thou here than with thy bad brown girls, thou bad new believer. It is sad enough, answered the wanderer and shadow. Thou art right, but how can I help it? The old god liveth again, O Zarathustra. Thou mayest say what thou wilt. The ugliest man is to blame for it all. He hath reawakened him. And if he say that he once killed him, with gods, death is always just a prejudice. And thou, said Zarathustra, thou bad old magician, what didst thou do? Who ought to believe any longer in thee in this free age, when thou believest in such divine donkeyism? It was a stupid thing that thou didst. How couldst thou, a shrewd man, do such a stupid thing? O Zarathustra, answered the shrewd magician, thou art right. It was a stupid thing. It was also repugnant to me. And thou, even, said Zarathustra to the spiritually conscientious one, consider, and put thy finger to thy nose. Doth nothing go against thy conscience here? Is thy spirit not too cleanly for this praying and the fumes of those devotees? There is something therein, said the spiritually conscientious one, and put his finger to his nose. There is something in this spectacle which even doeth good to my conscience. Perhaps I dare not believe in God. Certain it is, however, that God seemeth to me most worthy of belief in this form. God is said to be eternal, according to the testimony of the most pious. He who hath so much time taketh his time, as slow and as stupid as possible. Thereby can such a one nevertheless go very far. And he who hath too much spirit might well become infatuated with stupidity and folly. Think of thyself, O Zarathustra. Thou thyself, verily, even thou couldst well become an ass through superabundance of wisdom. Doth not the true sage willingly walk on the crookedest paths? The evidence teacheth it, O Zarathustra, thine own evidence. And thou thyself, finally, said Zarathustra, and turned towards the ugliest man, who still lay on the ground, stretching up his arm to the ass, for he gave it wine to drink. Say, thou nondescript, what hast thou been about? Thou seemest to me transformed, thine eyes glow, the mantle of the sublime covereth thine ugliness. What didst thou do? Is it then true what they say, that thou hast again awakened him? And why? Was he not for good reasons killed and made away with? Thou thyself seemest to me awakened. What didst thou do? Why didst thou turn round? Why didst thou get converted? Speak, thou nondescript. O Zarathustra, answered the ugliest man, thou art a rogue. Whether he yet liveth, or again liveth, or is thoroughly dead, which of us both knoweth that best, I ask thee? One thing, however, I do know. From thyself did I learn it once, O Zarathustra. He who wanteth to kill most thoroughly laugheth. Not by wrath, but by laughter doth one kill. Thus spakest thou once, O Zarathustra, thou hidden one, thou destroyer without wrath, thou dangerous saint, thou art a rogue. 2. Then, however, did it come to pass that Zarathustra, astonished at such merely roguish answers, jumped back to the door of his cave, and turning towards all his guests, cried out with a strong voice, O ye wags, all of you, ye buffoons, why do you dissemble and disguise yourselves before me? How the hearts of all of you convulsed with delight and wickedness, because ye had at last become again like little children, namely pious. Because ye at last did again as children do, namely prayed, folded your hands, and said, Good God! But now leave, I pray you, this nursery, mine own cave, where today all childishness is carried on. Cool down, here outside, your hot child wantonness and heart tumult. To be sure, except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter into that